Bombly, Sabakatigi Murit, Tulik, Hatkabu, Deering, and Buckland. Tarpo Tulik. Yadi Tulitama, Abitota, Amutidli, In Mictigun, Agnadli, In Mictigun. Sabakamikni, Kotakaritir. Gardna Pikapta, Kugum Mid, In Mictigun, Tulitare Mid, In Mictigun, Pigmata. Pilota Lumakta Pataki, in your neighbors at the Tare. Va. Sama. Ikayoti Shabut, in your waiter. Madamako, videotape, ugly leader. Ilamat Samatamana, ugly Tilatakama, Sabakti Lucy. Kinyakto Kramun, Kitun Rasi, Kitun Jasi, Kinyakto Kramatnik, Ito.
Instead of writing a quarter of a shtan, as you listen, it na na magmira ako ng pinagawa ng tape recorder ko. Apo tape recorder ay di ko kaban. Nakin na magmira ako ng pinagawa. Aklo aklo nito sa nakumira sa nakumira. Nito na dito.
Opening prayer. This is Roland speaking. Those of us who have drifted very far from speaking the Inupiaq language, and our children don't speak the language anymore. If we could bring them all together, if we could bring everyone all together and work on a single track together. Every job that we have in this earth, when it's divided by the white people and some Inupiaq, when it's put together, the good from the white culture and the bad from the white culture, and the Inupiaq culture, even though we want our kids to receive something good, sometimes he doesn't use just the good. Let's have an example of one thing. When they brought the liquor, when they first brought the liquor here, it was used to help the people who are sick, but when the people use it to excess, he forgets, he doesn't know, and doesn't even know what he's doing, and he doesn't know what he's done while he's under the influence of it. And when he's under the influence of alcohol, then we see him with different attitudes than what we usually see. So today, our children, the young people. They think we're strange when we start talking that when we start talking our own language, and they because they can't understand us, it's a strange language to them. That's how it is in our land and here in our town and in our home. And the home, the foundation of the home of the soul, where it's even uncomfortable. It's good for our kids to go to school, and it's great to learn things and to learn the wisdom of the people, to learn to do certain work, and that is good. But even though they have education, but when they leave the home of the soul, where the person is comfortable there, and then there is no place where his sense of being Inupiaq is comfortable to anybody at all, to himself. I am grateful that I can still speak Inupiaq today. And I have gone away to school, and the first time that I went away to school to Mount Edgecombe, and we never spoke Eskimo down there. And then I went to further education down in California, and I thought I would never come back because I had a good job. But I'm thankful that I had a brother, a sibling, who said, and I went to visit him at Portland. And when I got to Portland, he said, "Gee, you're close to home now. Why don't you go home for a visit? Why should I go home? You want me to leave my job? And even if I go home, what will I go home to? Because to me, I had left home and I had had a new home. And if I go back home, and the way I felt, there was nothing at home for me. And it didn't matter to me whether I went home or not again, because I had a new land. And we know that the United States are all different. The people who came from another land over here, they came in and mixed with the Indians and took the land away from the Indians, whose land this was. And that's why the Indians always say, "This is our land that the white people took." And some other people, and certain portions of the land was bought. And eventually, the whole land became the United States. And I lived out there, and I even forgot that I never even thought of myself as an Eskimo, because I was working among them, I was living among them, I was talking like them, I dressed like them. How could anybody tell I was Eskimo? And when I meet other people, and they ask me, "Where are you from?" "Korea, Japanese, Filipino." They always recognize me as one of those people because they don't know anything about Eskimos. They didn't know that I was Eskimo. And we're in that situation right now. The things that you know about your land, the land that you walked, that your forefathers walked, that where your parents are laid to rest. The land, our home, where we're comfortable, that which you know, that one, that land that I had forgotten. And my brother said that you should go see your older siblings anyway. I left Seattle to Anchorage and came on home. And I decided, well, I could stay an extra week. So I was stuck to my work. And there's all kinds of transportation with lots of noise, the airplanes, the trucks in the village, and then the village was so nice and quiet, even unbelievable. I start living in this country, and that which you know, maybe your kids found out about it but left it. And even if they've left it, and even if they come back, but we're concerned that they should not forget how comfortable, how at home they feel here in their own land. And our kids don't want to listen to us. You folks always remember the fathers or the older people and obey them and respect them. Our forefathers, that which our forefathers knew, and we miss it. And we're wondering how we could get back to that situation. We know education is good, but the fact that our identity as an Inupiaq should be instilled with them, so that they will always say that I am Inupiaq, no matter where they are. And when those people who ask him if he was Korean, Chinese, or Japanese, and he tell them that he's Eskimo, they say, "You mean one of those people that live in an igloo?" That's the concept of the people of Inupiaq, yet, and that's how our children are becoming. All they know is what they read in a book. And they take up habits that make them not respect anything at all, and not respect their parents or the older folks. And we realize that you folks know all of that, of respecting people, because you have gone through it. I was born to it. but I didn't live with my parents very long. But they also left me some things because I can still speak the language because I heard it when I was small. And I spoke Eskimo so much in school that they put Band-Aid on me and my lips could have worn out the skin. But I spoke Inupiaq. If I were the type that could get scared and do exactly as somebody said, when they first put that Band-Aid on my lips, I would have stopped talking Eskimo. And we're asking you how we could correct that situation, if we could devise a plan on how we could correct the self-image of our Inupiaq. Not very long ago, our Inupiaq lived in a very strong land. And when the gospel was brought to this land, they believed it and found it. And I caught some of them while I was very small. And there was nobody else to play with, so everybody went to church. Everybody always went to church because people obeyed their parents. Even if they were not Christians, and they tell their kids to go to church, they obeyed them and went to church. Even if they were not active in their church. But it's different today. It's not like that. Sometimes the parents tell their kids to do something, but they don't always obey. And this is the kind of life we have today, and it's not very nice. And we're asking your advice. If you could advise us how we could devise a plan on how we could gain self-respect and Inupiaq identity and all together and be recognizable. When two people meet another person, a person will say, "I'm from Kobuk." Then the people recognize where he's from and even who his parents are. And the older folks recognize and say, "Oh, so you're so and so's son." And today, we don't do that anymore because we don't recognize the fact that who our parents are. Because people are becoming selfish and want to gather everything to themselves now. And people just talk about what kind of work they do and not necessarily that they are Eskimo. I'm a carpenter, I'm a welder. And this is what they use as their identity. Not necessarily that I'm so-and-so's son and I'm from Notak. And that sense of identity is what we are today. And we feel that all of our villages really need help. And you probably don't really realize how precious your being here is and how precious it is to us and how we're looking to you for assistance in this area. But we know that you have trod that path and you know what it's like. If you can help us in any way for our future, something that we could look to in the future through the schools, and sometimes they gather information from other white people and start studying us as the white people see us, not necessarily like as the Eskimo see himself. And that's how our kids are learning everything from somebody else's viewpoint. My name is whatever his Eskimo name is, and I'm the son of so-and-so, and I'm from Notak. And I'm Inupiaq. And we need to know that, and we all need to be together on it. And we need to hear people who talk, and these are some of the things that our children should be doing. But today it's not happening, and it's becoming even less. But as we speak so much English, we don't really teach Inupiaq to our own children. And we have Eskimo names, but we don't use them to each other. We look like Inupiaq, but we don't know. And we're at that situation right now, and we're looking to you for advice. Thank you. Robert Newland, I mean. Roland has told you a good thing. Let me tell you a little bit more. All this that is becoming negative, we're asking you on how we could correct it. And if you talk about it, if you let us know, Nana could help to help correct the situation. The time to do this work is getting shorter, and our president, John Schaefer, has said that a year from now in the spring, he plans to resign from NANA, and he would like to get it started and going and written, or and talk to the head of organizations to people who work in Manila, and tell them and advise them on how they should do, on how it would be better. And this is what we're seeking. And we're talking about it here at this time for that purpose. And our time to get this together is very short, and I would like to emphasize that. And John has worked with us all these years, and he has set the time and date when he will not be working at NANA, and he has set the date when he will resign. And he's concerned on how the Inupiat will begin to be better and have it written down so that we will know. And that's what we are wanting to do. We know that if you were suddenly removed, the whole thing would suddenly stop. But while you're here and can still assist us, we need, Roland talked about how the people used to talk with their children and advise them on life and what they should do. And us, when we were little, we used to see the old people, old men talking at the store, and they used to talk about how the forefathers used to hunt or how the weather conditions are and when they get bad or weather signs or look at the stars. And that's what they did to look at weather forecasting. Or if there's any dangerous path in their travels and how they should circumvent it, they talk about that, and we don't hear that anymore today. And it's really necessary that you help us in our area, in that area. And because we're going to be losing our leadership pretty soon, we feel that we don't have very much time and need your assistance. And since the Elders Conference has started, there are some that we have lost who used to be helping us to conduct these meetings, and they're not here anymore. And we are to go through that ourselves, and we need you to advise us. And this spring, after the annual meeting, we plan to go on a retreat somewhere and discuss those things which you are talking about this morning. When it is written, and then we'll try to decide on how to organize it and use it. And when it is put down in writing, then we can take it and organize it and say, this is what they said, and maybe I know everything won't become perfect all at once, but we think that it will start getting better because we'll start going in a better direction through your understanding. Alan, talking about the school and what they're learning in the schools is really not bad, all right. In the schools, they teach them to speak Inupiat, and to read and write in English as well. And I have nephews and nieces who are going to school in those classes because they are learning to speak Eskimo. I talk to them. I speak Eskimo to them. They hear what I say, but they don't quite understand what I actually said. I think they could spell the Eskimo words immediately, but they have no comprehension of what the words are. And that is something that needs to be corrected. And even though they have Eskimo parents, they haven't learned to speak Eskimo. And learning it in school, they don't know how to speak Eskimo. But I know they could. They probably could write every word that I say in Inupiaq, but they have no comprehension of it.